Good morning. Good morning from Sacramento, California. It is the Wise Words of One Gone Show on Blog Talk Radio.
I want to thank everybody who prayed for me, all of those who believed in me. God, you keep doing the impossible. I thank you. Yeah, my vision always been bigger than the bigger picture. The real question is, who's in it with you? When you're losing, everybody switch you. When you're winning, everybody with you. I don't understand how you can count your problems and not your blessings. How that's gonna help your stressing. Give it to God and he just might stretch it. That's a valuable lesson.
Who is he?
I'm from the ham, but I live on the charts now. Life gotta upgrade, it's really big now. The thing for 23 years, I shoot. Cause every time I turn around, he gon' bless you. Who would've thought that we make it this far? God did. Who trusted God with all their heart? I did. It's crazy how I'm first, used to be last. Now I pray that it lasts. You can't see me smiling behind this mask. I know they mad. I wanna thank everybody who believes. I wanna thank everybody who believes. I wanna thank everybody who believes. I wanna thank everybody who believes.
2021 Stellar Artist of the Year is Pastor Mike Jr.
I'm a child of the King. My mama prayed often. Daddy was a prophet. He told me that if I go a little harder, I could really change the world. I get it, Dad. I saw your struggle, saw your hustle, saw you slay, saw you pray. Truth is that I never really believed in me. I believed in your belief in me. If several of my heroes stop and check their inbox, they'll see an MP3 of the songs y'all now sing. I tried to give them away cause I didn't think I had what it takes. The joke's on me. I wanna thank everybody who believes. 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 You did the impossible. Lord, you made it possible. You did the impossible. Impossible for me. You did the impossible. You did the impossible. I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe. You are all I need. I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe. You are all I need. You don't know, you don't know.
Yeah, that's Black Sheep, the freestyle rap of Minister Mike. Man, I've listened to that because a lot of people, they don't know the vision in which one has. Everybody has a vision, right? And if you stand tall through it all, you might be able to achieve some of the things that you set out to do, right? A lot of times we start something and we never finish it, and we start something else and we don't finish that, and we start something else and we don't finish that, and we start something else, and then we have a bunch of open doors that you can't get everybody in. So if you can just shut some of them doors and allow one or two of your doors to stay open, maybe some people can gradually come through and see your vision and maybe join you in the thought process of making your vision and a reality, right? And so, you know, the devil always attacking folks, man. And I throw my hands up, man. Because I don't want to go back to the old me. And I know it's a bunch of real soldiers on here, man, that'll walk that walk, man. Not just talk it, that'll walk that walk, man. And I don't want to lose the glory that God has given me. I don't want to lose what grace has provided for me. I don't want to lose me into some foolishness that don't really matter, right? It don't really matter. And so that's why when I tell people I'm healing every day, I'm healing every day because my mind goes array. It goes everywhere, y'all, just like yours. And when I feel like I'm being attacked, sometimes the old me get up and say, you know, the little boy in me want to be protected. So the old big bad wolf want to protect that little me that's inside of me. And my thought process might not be the same as, you know, me being calm, cool, and collective. And so I just ask that everybody really understand yourself first before you're trying to point fingers at other folks and tell them what to do and how to do. Make sure you're doing what you need to do. Because that advice that you give out, damn sure ain't the advice that you take for yourself. That's just some wise words from one go. And I'm going to the host with the most, Mr. Marvell Wilson, on this Let's Talk Tuesday. Marvell?
Hey, good morning, Tim. Good morning to our faithful family contributors and to the audience that we entertain, or at least we attempt to enlighten or stir it up on a daily basis across the globe. We're in Canada, we're in the Netherlands, we're in the United Kingdom. It's just the grace of God that they have this ability for us to reach out and share what's going on with us, and to be able to open up the hearts and minds of people who may have not thought our way, thought the way that we're moving. And now you're seeing that all we do is attempt to be therapeutic in some way to help us to groom our healing toward where we should be as a people and where people should be as a world. So thank you very much once again for your participation, and we'll go forth. As a matter of fact, I would like to say and go right on in to say, before we check in, that my brother is kind of wounded, and you know, T.D. Jakes did a presentation about confidants, and then constituents, and then comrades. Well, he and I are confidants, so he shares with me stuff that probably no one else would hear. And when I hear him frustrated, when I hear him feeling the weight of you know, externals pressing upon him unfairly, I have to speak on it and encourage him, and I have to speak on the fact that if we as a people are not willing to look at that kind of tendency that we might have with each other, then we'll just keep talking about it until it dawns on us that there's some things that we do that we're not looking at ourselves, or we're looking at someone else, and we're not really paying attention to the harm that we're doing. We're not really paying attention to how we're taking advantage of a resource. We're not really paying attention to the fact that what people have, people, though they may have a willingness to do certain things and they seem natural for them and you take it for granted, they still have feelings, and you must be sensitive to their feelings. You must be sensitive to their spirit. You must be willing to recognize what you can do to pour in rather than constantly attempting to extract. And I'll yield for the floor to open up. But we're going to talk deeply about some things today, because we're talking every day about healing. We're talking every day about unity. It's just that a whole bunch of things that get in the way of that we might not be conscious of. So we're bringing the unconscious to the conscious. And I'll yield.
Ashe, Mark the Disciple.
Grand Rising Kings and Queens, those were some good words there from both of you brothers, because I'm noticing the same thing myself. You know, we have a great need to want to be somebody. But first you got to find out who you are, and that takes time. You just don't do it overnight. It takes time alone, and most people are afraid to be alone. They always want to be in a crowd, want to be in a mix, because they're afraid of who they are. They're scared to find out who they are because they want to be like somebody else. They see what somebody else is doing, and they want to be just like them. You just don't jump into the game like that, and no game. That's why so many people have failed, instead of trying to lift up another brother who's doing something and get in where you fit in, and then your uniqueness will, you will find your uniqueness in doing so and helping others. You see what your capabilities are and see what type of person you are, because we're all great people, but you'll never know it if you got your eyes and your heart set on being like somebody else. So I'm going to digress with this here. I love the difference in all of us. I love the diversity, and I love you all.
Ashe, double R in the car.
Top Black family, hey, man, to all that, man. Hey, just chew on this scripture today, brother, and blessings to all y'all. God is great. If anyone is in Christ Jesus, they become a new creation. Old things pass away, all things become new, my brother. So that's why you didn't go back to your old ways. I love that. Keep it up, brother. Go.
Ashe. Brother Sherman.
Good morning, good morning. God be with you all. I heard what you two leaders of this group said. Too much power in one spot causes an explosion. Keep on going, because you are causing one, and don't stop, and don't be like Lot's wife. Just keep on going. God be with you. I land this plane.
Ashe. Rip.
Good morning. Blessing to all. It's funny how we don't try to be like someone, but the mirror image of a lot of people we got to be. We need our next leaders to be a Malcolm X, a Martin Luther King, somebody, you know what I'm saying? Everybody kept labeling me, saying I look like Cat Williams, to where I realized, hey, look, I'm older than Cat Williams. I'm taller, and I'm trying to get a little bit wiser, because I know in life I can't do a full impersonation of nobody. I've seen like about 50 to 100 people. Is that wrong? Everybody has been calling me for years. I used to look like Carlton when I had a little fade. Will Smith was in that area too. But I don't want to be them. I got to be who God chose me to be. And that's taken this full 13 years that I started Prayer and God Ministry, because I had to get rid of Paul. I refused to even respond to that name. Not that Paul is a bad guy, but Paul was all about himself. And I've learned over the years that I've got to be about other people in your business and find out what you're doing in order so I can help. I don't want to take over nobody's nothing, because I don't have time for that. But I do understand what you gentlemen are saying in full. And my heart goes out to those that thrive just to be just like that person. You know, because, I mean, my birthday is 420 coming up on us. And Adolf Hitler's birthday is the same as mine. I don't want to be like Hitler in that way. I want to be able to do things to take over the world and help out in certain ways, not to destroy and kill. And I yield to that.
Ashe. So, you know, my spirit, I just want to speak to y'all just for a minute, man. I just want to speak to y'all for a minute. I hate to tell you that, you know, I've been in the line of nobody helped me all my life. All my life. My daddy died when I was 9. And my uncles wouldn't even come watch me play football. When I graduated, only one person came to my graduation, right? When I went to college, didn't nobody see me off. That's probably why I didn't stay. When I got in the game, didn't nobody front me. I had to get it myself. When I started changing my life, only one I could say that was with me the whole time was God. The whole time, even when I didn't recognize God, even when I didn't submit to God, because I was in the world, for real. Only person, only spirit is God. And so when I say that one gone, I don't mean two gone, three gone, four gone. I mean one gone, one. I had to make this my vision. I had to, you don't know what I went through to get to where I'm at right now. I had people, when I first started any of this stuff, say I wasn't going to make it. That shit you talking about ain't going, man, that ain't nobody fishing. Ain't nobody finna do nothing with no fishing. This radio show, radio, man, they got podcast, they got what they got Pandora, they got iRadio, they got, man, so many naysayers was against me, but you know what I did? Kept pushing by myself. Wasn't looking for nobody else and wasn't talking bad about nobody else about not helping me. What I did is built what I wanted to see in my community. Then people start coming. Once it start aligning with their spirit, they start showing up and saying, you know what, you're doing real good, and I've been watching you for years, and you're still doing the same thing by yourself, and you're doing good. So, look, I want to see how I can help. How can I get in? They didn't bring no money when they said help or support. Wasn't no money. What I did is put them in position so they can be they own, have their vision come up out of my vision. I'm just putting them in front of folks. I'm a builder. And that's all I want to do. I don't want to take over nothing. I don't need nothing. What you got is what you got. If I can help you with it, I'm going to help you with it. But it shouldn't have to be where I have to take over and be called out my name, or you feel some type of way about me because of what? Man, go on with that, man. So, like I said, man, I just lay it all before the Father and ask him to continue to bless me, man. Like I said, there's a lot of people who got visions, and nobody's willing to stop what they're doing to help you do what you're doing. And because I have a following, it's because I've been straightforward, transparent, really helping, not receiving nothing. I'm not asking for nothing either to help. But when you put me up against the wall and you trying to make me feel like I done did some shit, man, get on away from me. I mean, for real. Slide away just like you slid up. Because I ain't got time for that, man. I'm in my last days. I ain't got that many more ahead of me. And I don't need confusion about whatever you trying to confuse one with. Take that, man, and go sit down. Serious. Go sit down, man. This show right here, I've been on 11 years. 11 years. You know why? Because it ain't my show. Anybody come on there, I say it's our show. I don't take no rein on this, and this ain't no bragging right or nothing to be. This is for the people. It's the people station, man. It ain't Timmy Pool's. Just because I call it Wise Words of One Gun, I've been saying that because I've been seeing stuff in my community and my fellow brothers that I said it has to change. And that's all I was saying. I wasn't calling names out. I wasn't pointing at nobody. I was asking them to come on in. Let's heal together so we can build together. We all still need healing, man. That mindset that we got, we need to just, you know, understand one another first before we come at each other. Because sometimes you can come at a brother in a way that, man, we had to put these suits on.
I see.
Pass the mic, man. Marvell.
Yes, sir. So, you know, you started out by talking about the idea of vision, one having vision, and it's clear to me that we have just like our eyesight. Some people are nearsighted. That means they can only see stuff that's close to them. Some people are farsighted. They can see well with things that are at a distance. So I guess the visionaries that come on to this project are, for the most part, farsighted, because kind of like don't really focus that much on the immediacy. We focus on what's in the distance, right? And everybody is not doing that. I dare to say most folk are nearsighted. They only see what's in their immediacy, right? So when we have someone who has vision and attracts provision from the Spirit of God. That's something that we should, again, we talked about it yesterday, that's something that should be edified and, if possible, duplicated. And if not, it's certainly not to be discredited. It's certainly not to be downplayed. And it's certainly not there to take advantage of for your personal gain and interest and not recognize that this source, if you abuse it, will come back to haunt you. I read something in a precept. It's called Way to Happiness, and it's the 13th precept, and it says, do no harm to a person of goodwill. I'll repeat that. Do no harm to a person of goodwill. And that's principle. See, what's been happening when Tim describes his journey, he has described the principle, the law, a universal law. It's called the law of attraction. And that means that if you want something to happen, you show the deliberacy, you show the consistency, and you will watch what happens. You will attract everything that you need to get it done. But you have to have, first of all, a good relationship with the Spirit of God in you, flowing through you, in order for that to work. And if anything keeps stopping you from having that Spirit, it's going to stop you from going forth. Making excuses is one of those things. Anticipating somebody else is supposed to do something when you ain't doing it is another. Do what it is that you want people to demonstrate and stand in the gap and represent your vision so that people can see it clearly. Because here's another adage. It is, you go somewhere, and if you want to experience something when you go there, bring it with you. That way you can demonstrate it to those who you want to emulate. And therefore, if nobody else does it, you do it, and you got what you came to experience. So we're constantly attempting to whittle away at those things that make it difficult for us to see each other for our trueness and work together. And this is one of them. This is one of those things where one becomes so dead set on being understood that they don't take the time to stop. I yield.
Sherman here. So early this year, I was sitting in my house really upset. And I called this number and I talked to a Mr. Poole. He said, call this number. And since that moment I called that number, my trajectory of life has changed. I yield back.
No, I just want to say something real quick. We're in the process of rebuilding. And through that process, we're going to come up against opposition. You have haters out there. Those haters are behind you. And they're the ones keeping you from going backwards. You got to stay focused. Keep your eye on the prize. Don't let what one man say or two or three men say distract you from doing what you are sent to do. Because, you know, some things people don't understand is when a man is ordained by God to do certain things, he don't take on a title. He continue on as that man that God created. Most people want to take on a title that's being seen big. Or they look at you, Brother Tim, as being, oh, Tim doing this, Tim, he think he all that. No, it ain't about what that man think. The man is thinking with his heart. He's trying to help people. That's what this radio show is all about, reaching out, trying to broadcast our love for everybody to create unity, to create a community, to stop all this bullshit that's going on with us. Within our own houses. And that's the problem. Most of these people, they disgruntled because they got none of the bullshit going on in their heart. It's in their house. It's in when they walk outside. If they see two people happy, they think something wrong with it. And they try to destroy it. But they're going to be there. The devil is busy. The devil is everywhere. They're nothing but Decepticons. So we got to look past them and keep doing what we're doing. Because, my brother, I got your back. I'm standing with you. So I don't want you to feel weak in no areas, my brother. And like I say, just turn a blind ear, a blind eye to them and a deaf ear to them. And keep doing what you're doing, because we are making progress. Whether we see it or not, we're making progress, because I know it. I digress.
I say, and let me just say this, man. I got Paul, Big B, and Ken. I'm going to introduce or let them say something in 2 seconds, but watch this. So when you say helping people, I can't help everybody. I can give you instructions. You can take them instructions and go forth. But I can't help everybody. I'm helping so many people right now. Some of the time, I ain't even helping myself. Let me tell you what I got going on just this week. The Circle of Strength. That is this Thursday night from 6 to 7:30 at Florence Square, where our women are coming together to heal. We have this radio podcast every morning for 2 hours. Right here on the Blog Talk Station. We got our Young Men's Summit on May 4th, right there at 24th and Florence. We have a listening session on fentanyl on the 24th, right there at the Florence Square. We have a camping and fishing derby, Memorial Weekend, May 24th, 25th, 26th at Westgate Landing Regional Park. We have on Thursday, family skate night, free food, free entry, free skate, free. That's just what I have right now, right? Ask me where the money come from. It don't come from none of y'all. It don't come from the state. It don't come from the city. It come from me going to DJ, man. I use my money to do all this, to give away free stuff. That's what I do. So if I'm not able to help you in your area, find somebody that will, that ain't as busy as me. When I say I'm helping the people, I'm helping the people. So I'm going to get off this soapbox, but I'm tired of people throwing darts at me like I did something wrong to somebody because I ain't heard your cry when you cried out. I'm not God. Keep crying out. Put yourself in the position like I had to do for people to recognize what you do. I don't brag about nothing. You'll never hear me pop my collar about nothing I'm doing, not this radio show, not nothing. Whenever anybody come to anything I'm doing, I say this is ours. I invited everybody in anything I do, not just this radio show, anything I do. But I ain't never been invited to nothing you do. I'm going to pass that mic. I see Brother Joe on here. Brother Joe, I see Brother Paul on here, so I'm going to go to Brother Joe first. Brother Joe, you on the Wise Words of One Gone Show, and we just cleaning house.
Man, it took me I hear your sentiment. I can tell certain things. Always glad to be. It took me a little while to get my act together, but I'm back on the track. So I'm glad to be among the brothers. Thank you.
We're praying for you too, brother. We know your health conditions. We are praying for you. We're asking God to continue to bless you, to bless others. I'm going to Paul in the hall, y'all, with V, Big V, and Kenny Ken. What's going on, fellas?
Good morning.
Good morning.
We're glad to be on every morning. I don't even have to set my clock. I know when it's 9 o'clock.
Yeah. good morning, brothers.
That's good.
Yeah, good morning, brothers and sisters. God bless y'all.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
All right,
yes, sir. And as he bless you too, sir.
I got one thing to ask the brothers. We need, can you send me them pictures of Bishop and us?
Yeah, please do. That I think. What was that? What was the brother's name? Don. What was his name?
Harold.
He took him.
Harold.
Was that his name? Harold.
Yeah.
Okay.
Harold. Right, he said he had to get his son to do it for him.
Yeah. See, he's sending those pictures.
Yeah.
When Tim has yet to see the bishop, so we need to then let him get a chance to at least get a visual aid.
Okay, so Paul, you have to get in touch.
Hey, man.
Uh-huh.
Look,
good morning.
I thought I locked you in because you know I told you I was gonna call you when we got back. You never guessed.
Yeah.
What I don't know if anybody told you, but
no.
When we got on the highway headed back, right?
Yeah.
And we put it on 55, got in the right lane, and put the hazards on.
Yeah.
And rolled in. It took us about 2.5 hours, right?
Yeah.
So when I got in the Sacramento, I came off the interstate, and you come right off the interstate, and you'll come to this a major intersection, right? And when
uh-huh.
I went to stop at the intersection, the calipers ran, balled up and went into the wheel well, and the car sounded like the whole front end was just going to collapse. So we had to pull around the corner, slowly
yes.
park in this urgent care lot.
Yes.
And I actually told later to my mechanic, he fixed it the next day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I'm sitting in it now. I'm probably sitting back in my station now, rolling nice, because I got a good mechanic, man. This dude, you know, he ain't no joke. So I had to park the vehicle. Look, when I had it towed,
yeah.
I made sure
yeah.
he had no excuses to get to my vehicle. I parked it in front of his garage door.
Oh, okay.
So when he came
great.
In, he didn't have no choice but to deal with mine first. And he took care of it and called me up and said, he's Hispanic, dude. He said, my bad, your car ready.
Yeah.
Your car,
yeah.
your car, he ready.
Oh.
I said, what?
Oh.
Your car, he ready. I said, oh, man, you done took care of Big Jack, I'll be there in 15, 20 minutes to get that car, man. So we back on point with that. I just want to let
well,
you know, Ken, that I didn't have you. I thought I locked you in to call you and tell you what happened, and I looked for your
yeah,
name, and it wasn't in my phone.
Yes. Yeah. Well,
so if
we'll
you got my number,
Paul.
Call me up.
Okay. Yeah.
Call
so,
me up so I can lock you in. To me,
okay.
That happens to me frequently. Sometimes I think my phone should pay half of the bill because it do what it want to do when it want to do it, you know?
Yeah. But we're so thankful that y'all made it back up safe and made it back home because I was like, I told Paul, you know, because we wanted to make sure that things was okay because we tried to see what we could see visually. And it looked like, you know, nothing was burst, but we knew where the sound was coming from. So, yeah, so we're thankful on that, and we want to get back to this business and uplifting. But we're so thankful on all ends
Ashe.
That you made it back safe.
Right on. Thank you, man. Thank you for that. Y'all,
let's talk.
I knew y'all. Go ahead, Tim.
No. Go ahead. I was just letting them know it's Let's Talk Tuesday, and that's what we're doing. We talking, man. We should be able to talk, come to agreement or a disagreement so that we know and fully understand where one is coming from and where one is headed, right? Just trying to get understanding is all we're trying to get here. We all have been hurt. I can hear from the longshoremen. They've been hurt from the system, from politicians, from friends and family, right? I can hear from Brother Joe through his walk and through all he's going through with his health. I can hear from all of us that we all still healing, man, still healing, and to get to know one another, man. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to pass the mic. Yesterday, I didn't even leave the house, right? So a couple people came, checked on me, and was asking, you know, some questions. And it's like, man, you know, you seem like you getting broke down. You know, you had a bad neck when you fell. You got a bad knee. You had that three-week cold. You breaking down. You disappearing. And say, the one lady said to me, said, that's God telling you to relax and rest up. you run so much that you outrunning yourself. And so I'm going to pass that on to a lot of us. You know, we're trying to make things happen, and we're really committed to making things happen with an open heart, open mind, clear conscience, and trying to really connect the dots. And sometimes we don't see how much we done ran ourselves down, right? Being true to the cause, being true to the cause. But my thing is, Brother Ken, is when you do all of that, and then people still trying to pick at you, that right there, man, it just don't sit well with me. I passed the mic.
Yes, I am.
Let me jump in and share something, because this is one of the tendencies that I've observed is commonplace, and that is that you can do everything right and one thing considered wrong, and that one thing you that's considered wrong can cost you everything else in our group. So perfection and high, you know, excellence and perfection and high quality, high standard accomplishments and deliveries are something we anticipate, not only with each other, but so hopefully with ourselves. But now I'm finding that some people in our group have that standard in their mind about somebody else, but they're not representing that same standard in their own behavior. But excellence is the quest. Everybody wants, everybody in our group is used to seeing excellence, right?
And then when
someone falls short, it's like, oh, yeah. That's why I talk about edification, because we have to recognize, I ain't going to say we have to. I'm going to say I would appreciate us stopping to recognize, first of all, the fallible human that is demonstrating. They're going to make mistakes. They're going to have concerns. They're going to have shortcomings. But look at their body of work and recognize that over a mistake that they made, because that's how people work on us. We have people like Michael Jackson, Michael Tyson, Michael Vick. We have even Michael Jordan. They tried to do him, tried to say he was in gambling because his father got killed, and they associated his father with being tied into some kind of mob gambling or something, and he got killed his father, and they tried to vilify him because they always can put emphasis on one area of shortcoming to overshadow all of the areas of accomplishment and excellence, right? And it's a very, very, very well-worn, very outdated method of discrediting our icons to create doubt about their legitimacy. And that's what I think happens here. And on a small scale, we're looking for something to discredit the legitimacy of somebody so that we can feel like they ain't that greater or that much beyond where we are. And that's just ridiculous for us to continue that trend of practice, to allow one something that a shortcoming that somebody has to just overcall all of the accomplishments that they have made. And especially if you ain't demonstrating the standard of excellence that you want to hold somebody else to, it gets out of hand. And that's another area I think is important to look at. You can do one thing wrong, and it costs you everything that you've done. And that's something I've noticed. And I open the floor.
We're only human.
Yes.
This is Double R. Hey, man, let's get back on that Sunday trip, man, and I appreciate you brothers, man, for really going down there and supporting Bishop, man. That's all he talk about every day. I talk to him that, man, y'all Negroes showed up. You know what I mean? And I appreciate the way, you know what I'm saying? Well, you know I want to say the other word, but I'm going to keep it, because y'all said don't say it. But now I'm going to just tell y'all this, man, real quick. This is Talking Tuesday. Double R going to talk for about his 2 minutes right now, but look. When I told y'all the story about Bishop, man, look, Marvell, you came out, you a real brother, you a real ninja, just put it that way. You said, hey, give us the hookup, we going to come down there. And this wasn't around the corner. You guys took an hour and some change or whatever to make that whole Sunday, it was a whole day. I know it was a whole day trip.
And for y'all to do that, man, this what this program is about, this unity that we have on here, man, and it's crazy, man. I'm way up here in SoCal. I'm out L.A. You know what I'm saying? Y'all don't worry about it. We got it. And y'all showed up and showed out, man. I appreciate that, and I'm glad y'all came back. But the funny thing was about it was, and make sure y'all send me the picture, man. I want that picture. It's going to be classic. Cause the funny thing about it, me and Tim was talking, and we called, I think Mark. You know, y'all remind me of Sanford and Son. Marvell was Fred, and Mark, you was the dummy. You know what I'm saying? Because Marvell was so irritated about the car situation. I heard in his voice, he was real, he don't never talk short. Oh, yeah, man. Okay. He was just real snappy with it. But, man, I'm glad y'all made it home and send me that flick. This double R, go.
Yeah, bro. I was saucy.
I see Mama Chocolate then drove on in. Mama Chocolate, you on live. Go on and speak to the folks one time.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. I'm in a little late, so I'll sit back and listen to what everybody is saying, but it sounds like everyone's in a good mood, and that's one thing I want to be around. I want to be around folks that's in a good mood. I digress.
Ashe. So I want to go to Mark the Disciple, right? Mark the Disciple said some things that it resonates with me, right? He was saying, you know, we are human. That right there, what does being a human mean to one right these days, right? Is it just a word, or is there some action? What does being a human mean to you, Mark the Disciple?
It means that we are not without fault. We have desires, we have wants, we have needs. But what we fail to understand is we have a need and a desire for each other. No man is alone. We can't make it alone. Sure, we could survive alone and whatnot, but you'll go crazy without human contact. So you lose a little bit without human contact. But we need that alone time so we can know who we are. That's how we rest. We rest our mind. We rebuild. We rejuvenate. That's when God reaches us on that one-on-one basis, because we need that one-on-one with God. See, it's good. It's fine and dandy to go to church, but you don't know what you're learning in there. You in there with amongst all type of spirits, and spirits are transferable. And I don't want this spirit to transfer on you, my brother, because that's all anger is. Somebody could spit some a foul word out to you, and you take that word in and marinate on it. Now you're going to begin to spit out that same venom. So we want to encourage each other. We want to lift up each other. And we got to help one another. But like I say, my brother, you did a lot. You did a lot of things that I had in my mind to do, but I didn't have the wherewithal to do. So I hooked up with you. And like I say, I want to be more of a help to you in whatever area that I can fit in. Because it's not about me. It's not about you. It's all about us. I digress.
Amen. Man, you're going to make me cry, Mark. You're going to make me cry.
Amen.
That's all I ever wanted is for us to build together, man, to heal together. That's all I ever want, man. And then, you know, I'm married, right? And so sometimes I have to sit and talk to my wife about some of the things that I go through or feel. And she's like, you know, she different than me. She like, babe, you know, you doing what you do, keep doing what you do, and shut the door to them people. You can't help everybody. And so I don't want to shut no doors, because that's the door might get us to the next level, right? I don't want to unassociate with other folks unless they make me, right? Because how can I say I'm healing if I can't deal with some of the things I'm going through? But if you get it repetitive, it keeps coming at you from the same area, then that right there lets you know I'm not no fool. I see what's happening right here. You really don't want what I got. You just want something, but you don't know what you want. So when you come to the table asking, make sure you know what you're asking for. Don't just go to asking all blatantly and have it all over the screen, and you can't pinpoint one area that we really need to help. Let's concentrate on one area. Get that area together. Yeah. Then go to the next, because if you have all these doors open, you're not going to get people in all them doors. But if you have one door open and you can get them folks in, they can help you open the other door. You don't have to open it by yourself. Yeah. I pass the mic.
Yeah.
So if there is a law of attraction, there seems to me also be a law of distraction. And the law of distraction says, if you all over the place and you want somebody to follow you, something's out of order. Something's out of order. If you're not focused on one goal or possibly two, one might be akin to the other and you can work two at the same time, but the vision is one vision toward one goal at a time. And if you're involved in so many things that you can't get nothing done, then how you expect somebody to follow you on a bridge to nowhere? So this is one of them things, some areas that if we look closer, because all we want to do while we're on this vibe is to look closer at some things that we may not have given much attention to in the past. Look a little closer. And then sometimes it's not just looking at closer at things outside of ourselves. It's a requirement to look closer to things that might be going inside of ourselves. And I would dare to say there's a lot of those things that if we stop and look, we can be more rational and more critical about ourselves and what we're delivering to not too much from somebody else compared to what we're doing ourselves. I hope that makes sense.
Yes, it does.
Somebody got a little distortion going in the background. Right on. Beautiful.
Hey, so you listening to the wise words of One Gone Show, we're going to take a pause for the cause, let everybody take a bathroom break and get back to this stuff right here. But, you know, it's grown man business, right? And here's Brian McKnight speaking on just that. We'll be right back.
Put you in the grown man business. If you ready for a grown man, lay back and get this grown man business. If you never had a grown man, let me put you in the grown man business. If you ready for a grown man, she ain't about my grown man business. You tell me you like him, cause he's young but wild. So you can't control him, cause he's always out.
Baby, everything I do is perfect.
grown man business.
Hooked on Fishing and Not on Violence presents Youth Healing Circle every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m.
Youth Healing Together.
2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California. Inside of Room 67, our Youth Healing Circle is a forum where we dive into discussions about drugs, bullying, school, and life skills. We provide a safe space and inform our youth
that sometimes it is okay to not be okay.
During our Youth Healing Circle, our youth may hear from other youth as well as experienced adults how to problem solve and navigate unforeseen complexities that we all run into in life. 2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California. That's Room 67 every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. For more information, text or call 916-889-0105. Let's heal together. Peace and blessings, King. Hooked on Fishing and Not on Violence presents
the Men's Healing Circle.
Brothers healing together.
Brothers healing together.
Join us every Wednesday night from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. 2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California, inside the Obama Room. The Men's Healing Circle is a place where men uplift, encourage, and inspire each other to be better through personal testimony, dialogue, self-reflection, self-improvement, and positive affirmation. Again, that's 2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California, in the Obama Room. Come out and pledge to greatness with your fellow brother.
That's right. Make sure y'all come out, man, and be a part of the healing process. That it don't just happen in a room full of brothers or a room full of young folks. You can heal by yourself. You can go into a mirror, stare at yourself, and see how long you can look at yourself and start right there. Healing is within. You know, we bring it to a forum because there's something you may say that might attract my spirit to listen with both ears and not just one. Them is just some wise words from one go. And so, you know, there's a lot of people that has business, right? Black people that has business, right? And there's my brothers on here, Mark the Disciple, Marvell, Brother Joe. They are a part of the BBOA, right? I'm a part of the BBOA in spirit, right? And so if you have a business and you need some direction and some correction, them brothers right there can direct you and get you corrected on how to run the business, right? That's people who are in the know of business, right? Black Business Owners Association. You can't get it no better than that, right? And so I'm saying to any listener out there that can hear my voice, it doesn't hurt to ask questions. It doesn't hurt to tap in with folks that is in that line of work. You know, that's like these brothers keep telling me, calling me from the jailhouse, asking me to represent them on the streets like I'm a lawyer. You know, they want me to run these errands. They want me to do this, do that. And at first I was doing it, y'all, because I felt the need to be of servants to these brothers, right? But then I had a couple of them, you know, once I did one thing, they pushed it to another thing. And then it got out of hand to where they said, okay, well, I got him running for me. Look. Next thing they asked me, if I'm able to tell you, I said, I'm done. Hey, brother said, yeah, Brother Tim, thank you for going to get the paperwork. They wrote me back. Thank you. They connected with me. Thank you. Hey, now look, you got a girl out there for me? That did it for me. Right? I've been locked up before, right? So I had to think with my thinking cap. Wait a minute. So one person destroyed it for all others. I put it on the radio on 97.5 that don't call me, don't even write me no more. You need a lawyer in your situation. There's plenty of them in the yellow pages. Get there and start right there, because I see you ain't really need me for nothing but a mule to run. And I was running, y'all. Hey, man, I was running touchdowns. I was hitting home runs. I was shooting the last basket in the last second of the quarter. You hear me? I was doing it because that's who I am. Ain't not, this is not on me. It's in me to help my people. Because I've been spared. I've been spared by the Most High to do this. So I'm going to keep on doing it. Marvell, the host with the most, I'm putting it on you right now, man. I'm going to take a break. I got a couple of calls. The lawyers is calling me for these youth at the detention center. Hey, let me just say this. They called me to want me to put them in programs. We got a couple of them in programs, right? But they don't never come and show up, these probation officers or these lawyers. They don't never call me to find out what they're doing until it's court time. And I'm about to stop all that, too, because that ain't utilizing me. That's using me, right? And so this lawyer, Mayfield, just called me, right, want a report because they finna go to court. I told him, I ain't got no report. You put this boy in the program, I ain't seen him. Now all of a sudden you're calling me, you want to know a report? I ain't got no report. I'm going to Marvell, the host with the most. Marvell?
Well, when I first met Tim, and there are a couple other people that are like him in regard to their anointment and their assignment, and they recognize it and they meet it to the best of their ability. Well, when I first met Tim, I told him this. I said, there is a such thing in my mind and has been talked about by people who are acute to the spirit. There's a term that's called living water. Living water is that body of water that's always moving, has power. People draw from it all day. They constantly depend on that living water for their vitality. They depend on that living water for their nutrition. They depend on that water to quench their thirst, right? But nobody tries to purify living water because it is proven to be living water. It has power, and it doesn't need any outside stimuli to keep it going. So that's how some people are, seem to me, to be interpreted as being that living water, that you can constantly draw from them and you don't have to give anything back because that living water is anointed, right? So the brother's anointment is shines, and his ability and willingness to meet his assignment because of the anointment was unfolded after he had been on a path of self-destruction and quite likely and uncandidly destruction of others. And when he was redeemed, he recognized and has been on his assignment since. And that has given him the power, but not the unshakable power where a person can't say something, a person can't do something that his humanity won't kick in. My mama is like that. My mama is just a resource. People, my mama's 90 years old, and people call her now when they have problems because she has that source, that power, and that source to draw from. My mama, 90 years old, people borrow money from her, borrow money from my mama. My mama has never been a borrower, but people borrow from her, and I hear that too. I got people that owe me money from 1998. Still owe me. I never borrow. So what I'm saying is that there are times when we have people who have this natural glow of resource that if we're not careful, we'll continue to draw from them without replenishing that source or without even thinking that we need to do it at all. That source just seems to be so ever-present and all-time giving that we don't have to be concerned about its source. Because that source is God, but we still are human beings who have human feelings, and we have to be sensitive to each other, and we have to recognize when we've gone a little bit too far in our expectation of another person. So these are just some other suggestions to pose to the body to consider when we're dealing with each other, is that just because somebody, because I told my mama this too, I said, Mama, and just like Tim, I said, you know, when you seem to have a smile on your face when you're helping people, it seems like you're doing something that gives you pleasure. So
when you look like you're enjoying doing what you're doing, people will help you do it by giving you more work. But at the same time, you can't expect them to do the same thing for you that you do for them, because they don't get the joy out of it. It's a drudgery. It's a sacrifice. It's a problem for some people to do the same thing for someone who is doing for them, to turn around and do it for them. So I tell them that. I say, look, you can't look like you're enjoying it. You got to draw a line. You got to make sure that you have some sort of parameters to let it be known that there's a balancing act here. And you have to work on keeping the balance so that people won't think that you just, they're doing you a favor by giving you an opportunity to serve them.
Yeah, well,
Shay got red with his hand up.
Now, y'all know me. I'm Mr. Can You Help Me, Can You Help Me, Can You Help Me? Because that's the meaning behind that song, Lean On Him. You've heard Lean On Me. It's been actually duplicated 160 times, which I pulled up, right? So my Lean On Him is the one original that I'm coming with. Now, we have a spirit of God within us. God's not sending Jesus down to just help me specifically. I know that. Jesus' name may become Tim, Marvell, the disciple, the bishop, and everybody else on here. So God's made me a creator. I mean, I got my areas where I help people. I just can't help where you can possibly help if you're different. I don't have a strong memory from the reading aspects and things like that in life. I mean, I'm about to do music with a gentleman that's way over in Africa because God gave me the vision on how to make that happen. He can also feature in my movie series from way over in Africa. He ain't got to come over here. So I know where I can help. I'll do music just like I told Marvell. I'll do music to your wife. Don't even tell me somebody's thing because I want to do music with them because I know that's my strength. That's what I can actually give free, because it comes free from me, from my heart, I sing. From my heart, I do my actions. From my heart, I've been running Prayer and God Ministry, Built Up the Homeless for Heaven, God's Children Live Matter, Rev's Healing Foundation, 4 nonprofits. I have 6 LLCs. I'll bring up the paperwork if the paperwork is needed. But if you sit back and really listen to how simple some of the things are I got to do, then it's easy to do it. I don't like handing out paperwork because people steal stuff. Because if you got the full script, then you can flip it, just like I'm flipping all this music. I know the music. I know the voice. So I'm flipping it. But I don't want nothing from it. I want that to be part of my starting for the Homeless for Heaven. I'm wanting to fund my own things. Even though I have nonprofits, I haven't tried to search with nobody to help me get a grant because I'd rather earn it myself because I'm a pure religion. I don't really like it. I just only started this stuff 3 years ago on the nonprofit or the LLC because I never wanted to do none of that. I didn't want to beg from the government so the government keep an eye point on what I'm doing with their money because at this point I don't care because their money is going to be used wisely when I do get something going. But I call upon people because that's where I'm at right now. I've done all this, built it all up for 13 years, just like I sent Tim a message yesterday, I think it was, while I was out hanging out with Michelle and her mom, that I got $10,000 worth of key machines and all this other stuff. I don't give a damn about that. You can have it. You can take it. I'll come over there and teach you and the kids or whoever how to cut a key, how to change a lock, how to flim jim, how to master key. I can do all that stuff. Like you said, Tim, I can't die with none of this stuff. I can't take none of this stuff to heaven. I'm at that age where you are. I'm at 58 years old coming up. So I'm like, how many more years do I got to keep trying to thrive for this? God, I hate walking in a circle like a dog chasing his tail. And that's how I feel. I get kind of flustered because I don't care if I narrow down one of mine. I still can't get it all going. Mine takes funds, money, real money. So I have a few lawsuits ahead of me. I'm going to use that money to pour back into everything I've had throughout my 13 years. Only come from me. I ain't got no donations from nobody. I've been the only sole driver for the limo service. I've been through 6 limousines in 12 years, and they've been beat up, vandalized, destroyed, shot in the walk-by, shooting on one, shot in the drive-by, shooting on another. I ain't stopping. I don't care what comes between me and what I got to do for God's mission, period. I've been talked about so badly in this funky-ass town, it's ridiculous. But I still laugh and smile in their face when they come up on me. How you doing, Rev? I'm good. How you doing? Did you repent for talking about me? They know the look in my face. But I don't care. I'm still going to keep going. I'm not going to get broken down. I do cry. I let it cry because that feels good. I don't care about none of y'all. How y'all feel about crying? It's a relief. So God's got me in my corner. He knows what I got to do. And my mission, I feel, is the most important mission in the world, just like you and your radio station, just like what Marvell does, just like Mark the Disciple does. Everybody's got their own important area where they know God's giving you that blessing. He's giving me too much, and I got to share this. Got to share it. Other than that, I'll be selfish. I've always been selfish, but I'm not selfish now. I'll put anybody offered Marvell to be on a contract. He said, I want to be on a contract. That's fine. But it was a one-way contract. If so, you'll be on it for something happens to Rev. Everybody else can take over. Because I don't want it to die. My business partner's already lined up with it, and he's one of the owners up at Florence Square that y'all keep speaking of, Mr. King. Some of y'all know him. He's helped me put together all this stuff because he believed in Rev. He calls me pretty much every day, and we joke, laugh, talk crap, and everything else. You know what I'm saying? He became that friend in my life, past the fact of a paperwork pusher for me, because he knew I needed the help. Came to that man with a couple of $100 the first time. He locked in my prayer and God ministry as a fictitious. Took me, 10 years to come back around to him, and he still, well, this time he blessed me over that. He done all this paperwork for free. Free. I just paid for the filing of it, but he done it all for free. Not even an ass. He kept getting mad, like, Rev, I got to have a talk with God because he keeps having me do this stuff to you, and I don't know why. I was like, well, go talk to him because I don't know why either, but I'm thankful, and we still stay on this page. So don't overthink the fact that Rev calling you for help. God's telling me to call you for help. Other than that, I will leave y'all asses alone. You hear me? I digress.
That's it. Okay, you know what, Rev, and this is not to be banter. Yeah, go ahead.
Gentlemen, I think we overlook something that is so essential, and that is faith. God placed us in certain categories and on certain tracks throughout our life. Now, earlier on, our faith was not as strong, quote-unquote, as it supposedly is today. On this track, you are going to have, you know, I heard you one go. You're going to have detractors. You're going to have haters because that's what God said. However, yeah. He also said us, those that he has placed on this track, to know that he's got us. We as humans forget that. And so when the slings and the arrows and the shots and the words seem to batter at us, it works on us because we're only human. But again, it is faith that put us here. And with faith, we will be able to succeed and carry on. Don't lose faith. Don't lose faith. It took a while for us to gain the strength in faith that we have today. Don't lose that. Don't give that up because of outside factors. Don't walk away from it because that is our shining light. That is what keeps you, Wondo, keeps you, Marvell, keeps you, Brother Mark, Double R, myself and others, Sister Clarice, all of us. It is the faith that we have. Don't you give that up. Regardless of how tough it gets, God will bring us through.
Yes.
Amen.
But I digress at this point.
All right.
Well, so I was on the heels of the presentation, of Rev's presentation, and I couldn't help but notice one distinct regularity, and it's dawning on me that might be where some of the area of redress might be considered by the brother. I heard him say, "I and I've." 58 times. I. And I don't know if declaring yourself a silo or an island is going to be effective to attract people to want to assist. You know, because when you say I, that's all inclusive. And so if you're doing it, you don't need our help. You've done it. You've got the four nonprofits. You've got the six LLCs. You've got the limousine. What you need us for when you're saying I all the time? So I just want to plant that seed, and I'm not trying to get into a bantering match with you. All I'm saying is that inclusion is interpreted by what you say. If you want someone to be included, or you want to include someone, then the I is not in team.
Oh goodness! I do, but I hear you guys say I all the time. I don't try to count numbers on how many times you say
We're not going to banter.
So why you? I know, but you badgered me. But you don't want me to come back or nothing.
No. I'm just kidding. I told you this. Listen, I told you this, and it came to my attention, you know, as you were speaking, is that I was an operative verb in your presentation. I. And so I want you to consider that. Is you declaring your eyes, is that going to attract a we? Is that going to attract a we?
Well,
and that's all I'm
saying.
We're not going to do this, Rev. We're not going to do this.
Stop coming back at me on the radio then, Marvell. Call me on the sidebar, dog. Okay,
I'll call you on the sidebar. Got you. That's what you need to do. Okay, I'll do what I want to do, but we'll chat about it. So let's get back to the you know, because see here we're constantly getting these stimuli. You got to respect the format, because this is not real talk TV or what talk TV you host. This is whatever it is. That's what you host. That's your format that you host. I host this one, and I will hope that you will respect that.
Amen.
So we'll get back to
amen.
You. Yes, thank you. All right. Well, thank you, brother.
Amen.
Listen,
amen.
You already admitted that you have some concerns.
Sashe, don't do it no more. Stop it, brother. Sashe, I know what I mean.
Marvell, let's go to something else, Marvell.
Without interruption. We have to do it without interruption. So it's always been identified that there is some concern, Tim, could you handle? Oh, Tim gone. That's right. He can't mute you.
We have any other callers that have anything they want to say?
Sherman here.
Go ahead, Sherman.
So today is that song by Redbone is 50 years old today. Hey, you know that song?
What?
Man.
50 years
that
old?
That song by Redbone, the Indian guys. Hey,
oh, I thought you were talking about Glover, Donald Glover. Go ahead, Redbone.
No,
they call him. That, okay.
Yeah,
go ahead. What is it now?
What's the matter with your head now? That song, that's 50 years old today.
Hey, that one.
Yes, sir.
That's Redbone. That's Redbone.
Come and get your love. Come and get your love. Is that it?
That's Redbone. Yeah. Redbone.
So the art to write this song is you don't write the whole thing all at once. You take a couple of weeks and take a break. Come on back. Take another break. You know what I'm saying? Well, that's what I write. Because I write so many at one time that every song took so many days and weeks to write. I'm proud of Friday, what I said to you guys. I believe I won this. So I'm learning this from you.
Yeah, Yeah, so,
hey,
so
can
again,
everybody mute their mic, man, for real? If the audio is kind of crazy. Can everybody mute your mic if you ain't speaking? Every movement and everything, we can hear it. Just sit down somewhere. Gone.
Yes. Yeah, I had to mute mine while I roll my windows back up because I was getting a little warm here. I'm sitting in the vehicle. This is a commitment that I made, as I said. You know, I only mention it because it's kind of important that we understand that in order for us to really push forward on what we want to experience, sacrifice is probably going to be necessary. You're probably going to have to learn how to do stuff that you don't want to do or that you haven't done before. Or that, like Tim say, people shoot you down when you come up with something that you want to get done, and they'll say, oh, man, what you talking about, fishing? Because when I heard Hooked on Fishing, to be honest with you, when I heard Hooked on Fishing, Not on Violence, I was like, whoa, how that work? And then I met the brother, and I saw how it worked. It works through the Spirit of God. It works through the Spirit of God coming through him to the project to make it make sense to the carnal, to humanity. It's just one of them things. Like, you know, it doesn't have to make sense to the sound of it. It doesn't have to make sense to the visual of it. It has to make sense to the spirit of it. And the next thing you know, I'm an officer with Hooked on Fishing now, right? And guess what? I ain't never been out there on the water fishing with them. Mm-hmm. I'm hooked on fish. I ain't got to the ing part yet. But I'm still a member. And I'm still in standing with the premise because it works. It works for those who are young people and even the brotherhood. They they attracted a whole bunch of brothers that fish, and they go out and they kick it and they have a great time. Sometimes I wish I was out there because of the camaraderie that is built. But this concept started from like, wow, what do you mean by Hooked on Fishing, Not on Violence? Well, what's one got to do with the other? But the Spirit of God said, oh, I'll show you, just step up. So you have to make sacrifices when you want something to happen. And you have to accept the ridicule sometimes when you want something to happen. You just have to stay, as Joe say, keep your faith and stay focused. And when you start losing it, luckily, if you're lucky, you have somebody that you can talk to about. If you want to cuss and vent yourself with them, they won't judge you, and they'll be there to support you because that's what it takes sometimes. It takes for you to have somebody, a confidant, that you can cuss and lament with and then purge yourself so you can get back on the job because we're just being obedient to our assignment, and everybody might not have that conviction. Everybody might not have that background where they're grateful for where they are now compared to where they were. Because I have that. Mark has that. Joe has that. Double R has that. So the brothers, Tim has that. So the brothers that have gone through, they, you could tell. But that doesn't mean that everybody doesn't have something that they should be grateful for and that they should be willing to express that gratitude for the next generation to let them not have to go through anything that we have experienced because it's not necessary. It's not necessary to go through the fire all the time. You know, it's not necessary, especially when we can save time for you to give you an opportunity to douse that fire or not even go near the fire. So yeah. That's kind of like the bottom line as we continue to trudge through our spiritual and emotional concerns to get to the reasonability of spirit because there's nothing more reasonable than the Spirit of God. And you know it when you feel it. Sometimes we just fail to get out of the way. And I'll yield with that. Oh, And Sister Clarice, here's something else too. I had to give a report. Queen Amina Roz Meyer, Mama Roz, is she was called to testify in an issue that's been pending for a long time. She's been fighting for the opportunity to express herself, so she's called to testify at a hearing about. She told me what it's about, and I had it written, but somehow this my phone. Like I told you, my phone. I don't think I should have to pay the whole bill. I think it should share the bill because it won't. It'll record what it wants to record, and then it'll throw away what it wants to throw away. Because I just had the text with the information on it, what she was going to the court for, and then I go to look at it to brief it, and it's gone. But she wanted me to extend her well wishes for our brotherhood and sisterhood on this format. And she wanted to apologize for not being able to be available today. And Sister Clarice, I don't know if she checked in or not, but I'm concerned that I ain't heard nothing from her, First Lady of Radio, because it's kind of odd for her not to be at least tuned in, if not chiming in. And then Larry, I don't know about Larry. Larry, he usually comes in. It's a couple of people that are missing that I'm curious about. So I'm probably going to give them a call afterwards, because that's how we've gotten developed our relationship here, is where when somebody's missing, we call and check on them. That's just how it's got to be around here. That's how it's got to be around here. We call and check on them.
That's a good thing.
Say again, please. Yeah, that's what we've gotten to be. And so we're at this point now where I got this to report. I got a call from Money Griff last night, and he pointed out to me that there was a class action suit that was granted against some companies who were responsible for supporting slavery after slavery had been declared illegal, right? So they were illegally trafficking in slave labor and slave support after the emancipation had been declared and slaves had been supposedly free, right? So that conclusion, that verdict, makes it so that we have a reparations case against those companies. And he called me up. It was like 12 something in the morning. He called me. He said, look, I got to tell you about this. And he told me about it. So I went to refer to the information. I would prefer him to give the details about it. I read it, and I found all the companies that might be culpable, but I don't see which companies. He said there's only two of them that got that pled guilty. Two of them pled guilty, but all of them seem to be culpable because they were all contributing to the transport of slaves and the docking and the freighting and all that stuff that they had slaves doing and all that stuff. So it's kind of interesting. He said he'll be on tomorrow. He said it'll be on tomorrow or Friday to clarify, but he thinks that that's going to be not reparations itself. It's a form of reparations. It's sort of like a form of reparations that the longshoremen are seeking. And reparation in this regard for us just means that we've been discriminated against and we've been treated unfairly, and we want you to make it right. The people who are responsible for it, we want you to make it right, so that reparations, or in my mind, restoration could then occur. So he told me, he called me up just last night and told me about that. So we'll have him on and give him some clarity about that. But I still would like I have a question I want to pose to the body about. It was on my mind earlier. before Tim did his presentation. I have a question about does anybody want to volunteer a grievance that they have about something they observed with our people, another practice or a tendency that rubs you wrong when you see it or when you experience it, so that we can continue to churn and turn, look at these details of what it is that makes it difficult for us to work together, so we can get to the point where it becomes easier. So does anybody have, once again, I'm going to try, because I don't know if you're getting it clearly what I'm saying. Do you any have something that when you see one of our people demonstrating something, or you have something in somebody in your personal circle, you know, just an affiliate that has a tendency to do or say something that makes you, like, cringe, like, oh, man, dang, you did that again. How are we going to move forward if you keep doing that? Does anybody have anything they want to share to the floor that they've had an experience like that?
Paul, you on the phone?
Yeah, I'm back on the phone here. Wow, that's a big matter. Let me go here. Sometimes when you know something is taking place like that, and if when you don't keep a closed mouth, and we know a closed mouth don't get fed, but when you keep a closed mouth and you know something is going on is not right, and you don't speak on it, they say sometimes you just as guilty as they is, or you just as part of it is. So I'm gonna tell you something. That's one of the reasons why I pretty much retired from the waterfront, because I didn't want to be part of what's going on down there for the Dirty Dozen, on how they continue to get over on us, and it wasn't right. And I'm making money, but they also taking it as I make it, and it's illegal. And so, you know what I mean? And I don't want to be a part of that, because they have took and persuaded a lot of our own people to be a part of them. Took
hey,
a lot
Ken.
Of them.
Hey, Ken.
Yes.
Ken, you on the phone?
Yes.
When you was in Sacramento on Sunday, did you show them the pictures of my accident?
Wait. What? You talking about at the church?
Yeah. Did you show them the pictures of my accident?
Well, I didn't even have a chance. I mean, I didn't, but we can forward it, because, I mean, the video itself. So, yeah, that's a mess. Yeah.
Listen to me, because gentlemen, everybody that's listening on this radio station, if you've seen the pictures of this accident, this is what you've been talking about right now to all the way to the next 2 or 3 weeks. I'm telling you, man, nobody should have to go through not getting a claim not validated. But you know, what I'm trying to explain to you that it's the conspiracy is so big, and we're dealing with the feds, and the feds they have you know, when you're federal, they think they got full jurisdiction, but they need to be exposed. That's all I'm trying to say to you guys.
Yeah. But
okay, so in regard to the original question, I'll tell you what I interpreted from that, and that is that you guys were. Because it's predominantly black workforce, I'm gathering. I've been told that, and just give me a yay or nay. That particular area was predominantly a black workforce, correct?
Yes.
85% African American, right?
Okay, so what I'm interpreting when I ask the question about people demonstrating something that you feel is, first of all, out of order. And maybe unethical, and furthermore, it would impact our ability to progress because of their demonstration. Now, I'm going to tell you what I got out of that, is that you guys were so principled about what you saw that you made the sacrifice of removing yourself from the situation because the other blacks didn't have the courage, didn't demonstrate the courage to represent what was right, right?
Yes,
now y'all's kind of like, y'all kind of like a small minority of people, and when, and if and when, see, here's the deal. It's just like reparations itself. When I talk to people about reparations, they'll say something like, oh, man, they ain't going to do nothing. But if they do, yeah, I want mine. And I'm thinking, okay, so you want somebody else to do the work.
Yeah.
And if and when it comes out, you want to be the beneficiary of somebody else's work. So if you guys, when you guys get awarded and get your case heard and win, they're going to benefit from your efforts.
Yeah, we just talked about that. Yeah. We just talked about that yesterday. Yeah. Yeah.
They want to be on the bandwagon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Because that's the first thing they ask you. Oh, did you get paid yet? Oh, well, I'm good, man. Hey, then I heard one brother tell me, hey, man, listen, man. Yes, I got hurt out there, but listen, here, I want, here, just make me a part of the class action lawsuit. I don't want you to use my name, don't use my email, don't use my nothing. I said, oh, okay, bro. I said, hold on a minute. You have to put in your own paperwork. And you have to put out some sweat, make some calls, just like how we doing. Get on the phone.
And you
got to
show some support.
Yes.
And also, they say if you love Jesus, you ought to show some signs. So if you want to be part of this longshore movement and part of the defense 18, you need to show some signs. And part of reparation, you need to show some signs.
Yeah, that you want us to. So,
that's what I'm talking about. See, these are the kind of tendencies that are demonstrated. Everybody wants to play it safe, right, and be straddle the fence just in case when a commitment is necessary for the body, right? Because, you know, you got portions of the body doing all the work. It's just like you got a heart problem or you got a good heart. But you got, like, okay, we can put that in the spiritual. You can, a person with a good heart, their heart pumping, you know, healthily, but the rest of the body is not responding well to the blood flow, right? The heart is working, but the body is deficient because it's not meeting its responsibility to keep the body going, right? The same principle here is that you guys are at the heart right now. Of making righteousness for everyone, but your heart is pumping good blood into a vein system that is deficient. Deficient.
Well,
they're demonstrating deficiency, and they're waiting for your blood to heal them without them doing any work.
Well, can I say this? Here's what I want to say. See, you said a lot just then, but this ain't just about the fellas that you hear on the phone and the brothers and sisters down there on the waterfront. Even though it's over 80% minority is majority, it's about the future of the longshoremen that's coming in, so they won't have to go through this ordeal whatsoever. But like I say, once the media get a hold of this, we ain't got to ask no questions. The media gonna ask everybody, how come you guys are having all these infractions against you guys, and nobody's trying to validate none of these legitimate claims? Because like I said, I made the national news for 3 days in a row, and like I said, if you'd have seen this accident, you'd have said yourself, wow, how come nobody don't want to pay this man, and when the the Department of Labor rules in your favor for them to pay you, and they still don't pay you, what's wrong with that picture? What's wrong with that picture? I want to retire. I want to retire. I'm 68. I'm 68 years old. I want to retire. I can't retire till my claim is settled. See what I'm saying? Because if I retire before my claim is settled, all they're gonna do is drop my case, like they do everybody else's.
True. Sure.
File your own claims. File your own case.
It ain't that
simple. In the civil court, in the federal court, it is too. You walk in there and ask for court papers to start your case.
You have to walk in there.
You have to. Well, you can go
do it
on the phone.
Outside. Get your own papers.
Hey, Ken, tell them you've been to court, Ken.
Yes,
I've been to court.
Yes, I've been to court. I've been to Department of Labor court system and went to the Ninth Circuit. But just like you say, we may have to pursue the strategy that Bishop indicated. Yeah, we may have to walk into the federal court in Oakland or Alameda Superior Court or something and file papers. We may have to do that.
Yeah, because
no, you
can't
have
be
to.
Maritime,
you just
can't be maritime law. If you go to maritime law, they're going
to
do us the same way.
Yes, that's yours. Yeah. So, that's,
so what about did anybody ever pursue the prospect of going to the colleges and getting some of those young law students to look at the matter?
That's on the agenda.
Right on, because you know there's probably suggestions. Got to take some more suggestions to move forward, because what's been practiced so far hasn't gotten the traction that we are anticipating is fair. So it's a good idea. Okay, Bishop, got you. So the things that we're urging, if give us a report on that so we can know if we could pour into that or if we need to take another avenue, because the bottom line is that is a true issue that deserves to be addressed. And however we got to get it done, we just got to keep on finding a way, right? Okay, Bishop, what you have to say?
Oh, I will say, just like I have the case I give Mr. Marvell and his friend and come up with from Sacramento. A copy of it. You see what I mean? All them companies y'all are talking about and what Big Money Griff talking about, I have them in my case. When I filed this case for $250 billion, people need to read what I read, what I wrote, and what I filed. Okay?
Yeah.
A PG&E, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Chase Bank, all them companies, all the many companies out there that are owned by the railroad companies, okay, and all them companies out there owe us money. And I filed a case against, didn't just file a case against the railroad companies, but I filed a case against all the other companies that the railroad companies own. You understand what I mean? So if you go fight fire with fire, you got to get to the bottom of the picture. You know what I mean? And I went to thing to this to the fire department and all of them, how to stop all these fires from burning up so many thousand acres of land and everything. Fight fire with fire. Say, use dynamite all that stuff. Go ahead of the fire and plant a row of dynamites and blow it up at the right time. You know, because Derek and everything will put the fire out. You see what I mean? So you blow up dirt in the air, will put the fire out. You know? So, but nobody listen to me because they want to hear it from somebody else.
Okay.
They don't want to.
Hey, Ralph, we love you. I don't care what nobody says. We love you, Ralph. And I know what you know what you're talking about.
Yes.
Let me share this. Case was filed on the new reparation. So the people don't even, a lot of people don't even know or understand what new reparation is. New reparation is, number one, is for the 1800s and the 1900s.
Yes.
Okay?
And
that's what my case was filed. That's the way my case is going back in court on the new reparation.
So file your case in the new reparation.
Long Sherman, if you file your case in the new reparation and everything, it's going to include all them companies out there messing over you. That's new reparation in the 1900s. New reparation.
And pardon me, everyone, and Bishop, yeah, you remember when Gray Davis was the governor, he exposed and made all those insurance companies disclose how many slaves they had and how many benefited off of us as slaves and sold and cashed in insurance policies. And you notice after him, they got rid of Gray Davis, and he made all those. It was on file. All these insurance companies owned and profited off of slaves, and you could download the information. So some of the insurance companies were Fleet Insurance, Chase Bank, Southern Pacific, Union Pacific, and a whole lot of other insurance companies that benefited off of slavery and sold us and cashed in after we died and kept all that money. So I don't know what those bills were under the state of California, what SB bill it was, but that was the reason why they recalled Gray Davis and he exposed and made them
I don't have nothing to say. Excuse me, but I don't have nothing to say about them politicians and what they did. My thing in this here is going by what we have to do. That's where I am because I have broken down in the proof of what all of these politicians have did to us. You know what I mean? They took all the black people's gold, money and gold within the black man. See, it wasn't no money. It was gold that they took from black people. A lot of it. Black people had gold in the black banks. Many black banks in the United States and the different states, different cities and everything. Black people put their gold in the bank, but they couldn't get it out to build a house or to do nothing. Okay, they kept it all, wouldn't give them none of their gold back. So 1865, the government formed a company there, lending the gold out to all of these white people. And they made billions and millions of dollars on the black people's gold, and in 1874, what was left, they give it all to Chase Bank. So Chase Bank, J.P. Morgan, all them have gold that belong to black people. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
So we got to take all that. We got to take them and get that gold back. And then we got gold coming from the government. That's why I want to put my case this time in the United World Bank. You know what I mean? I don't want to file an American bank no more because I'm going to sue America. So they murdered 2,000 or 3,000 blacks and everything. And they had
hanging tree set up on every ranch, and there was going on. They had, it was black, they had a hanging tree on every ranch and downtown in every town, in every city, they had a hanging tree. You see what I mean? So I'm not going with none of this stuff that you're talking about and giving these politicians credit, because all of them were slave masters. All the politicians, black and white, slave
masters. I'm gonna tell you what's kind of stimulating me is when I hear you say new reparations. That sounds like as we're on the verge of an ability to revisit a whole bunch of things that they might claim the statute of limitations might disallow us to proceed on, right? And so,
here's another thing.
Okay, Bishop, I'm gonna let you back in.
Let him finish, Bishop.
Here's another thing that Money Griff just called me last night and was telling me about it, the insurance policies, and he said that the hanging trees that they have, well, it was probably just for spectacle and to distill fear, because if they hung a slave, they couldn't get the insurance policy for it. If they worked the slave to death, they couldn't get the insurance policy for it. So they had to resort to mayhem and murder in order to claim the insurance policy. So they were poisoning slaves having them do dangerous jobs so that they could lose their lives in the course of and all that in order to cash in on insurance policy. So I remember Money Griff used to say all the time, there's no statute of limitation on murder. And I used to say, what is he talking about? Well, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about these like Aetna and all these other major insurance companies that were entering policies on slaves. And then the slave masters were working them to 5 months. And then on the 6th month, finding a way to make them disappear so that they can cash in on the policy.
Yep, that's right. Aetna, Fleet Insurance,
okay.
State Bank,
I'm glad you
Railroad,
said that.
Southern
Absolutely
Pacific.
Right. And New York Life Insurance Company.
Yep.
They own a lot of other insurance companies. But they are all the slave masters had black people insured by New York Life Insurance Companies and many others insurance companies. So I got a whole book on that, okay? And got a lot of the slave name is in the book that they killed, that died. But the slave master got paid every time a black died. You see what I mean? That's the reason there's so many black was killed and died. Okay, because they.
Hey Bishop, when you said Chase Bank, you mean Washington Mutual? Because Chase bought Washington Mutual. WAMU was Washington Mutual before Chase. So you talking about the original bank?
Right, all of them. All the banks. It was a lot of different banks now, but Chase Bank is one that insured the most of them.
You said Washington Mutual, double R?
Washington right. Mutual was Chase bought them about maybe 10, 15 years ago. But it was used to be Washington Mutual because I had an account with them, and they was bought by Chase. So Chase wasn't a bank until they bought Washington Mutual. So it must be on Washington Mutual's hands on what you're talking about.
No. It's still under Chase. Chase bought them out. They still own slaves. Chase is really J.P. Morgan Chase. They still
J.P. Morgan
have the documents. Gotcha. They still have the documents, and you still can probably look up the documents.
We have money coming from all the banks.
One thing I'm not highlighting and uplifting any politician, but he was the only one forced them insurance companies, railroad companies, and others to expose who had policies on slaves and sold them and profited from it after the work also was done. I mean, after they abused us as slaves and then cashed in, and those policies never went to the families. in profit and making money today, which are Aetna, Chase, Bank of America, mostly all your banks, railroads, and a lot of others. So we might be still able to pull those up, but
I have a book on it.
Oh, well, you have it, Bishop.
And the book was made right here in California. And they got to shout this out. It's Big Money Griff sent me information on this many years ago. And I got to wind up with the whole book.
Oh.
Go ahead.
So J.P. Morgan was the oldest bank in America when the Depression hit. That was the only bank that didn't close. And that was owned by black people.
That was owned by black people?
Yes. That was the only bank that didn't close in the Depression.
But what did you say about black people? What did we have to do with it?
J.P. Morgan is the only bank in the Depression that did not close. It was owned by black people.
That part I didn't get. I didn't understand that. You said it was owned by black people?
Yes, a black owner, yes.
That's going to require some research.
Because then you may have all
the banks in America closed, all of them except for that one.
Yeah, I don't know what that so
okay,
black
well,
people,
Google,
but we had to do with that.
Okay. Well, Google Aetna Insurance or Aetna Life Insurance. Google how many slaves they owned, or was they a part of slavery?
Yeah, that's one of the highlighted companies. In the data that I got when I researched the data that Money Griff sent me, Aetna was outstanding in that, right? And you said the Freedman or something like that, Freedmont or something.
Freedman B.
Bank. Fleet Insurance.
Yeah.
Fleet Insurance also.
I'm gonna get more in depth about it. I just browsed it before we came on, just to see, because what I was looking for was the verdict. You know, I saw all the companies and I saw a little data about each company, but he said out of all the companies, there was only two of them that were adjudicated against because they pled guilty, right? So I was looking for that information. So when he comes on, I'm going to see. Maybe I'll even give him a call to find out what it is that's missing in the information to say that they because what if they pled guilty, what was the consequence?
Yeah.
And them companies was owned by the railroad companies.
Makes sense.
Yeah, well, we know Southern Pacific and Union Pacific owned slaves and cashed in as well. We do know that. But
Lords of London.
Yes.
Lords of London. And they had a base here in New York. And they do transport, right? And so I guess they had people, they had, because you know what, I'm going to tell you something. Before the Harrison Act 1912, dope was couldn't be regulated because you couldn't dictate what somebody put in their own body. So they had people. They had our people working on docks, like you guys, longshoremen, had our people working on docks and pumping them with cocaine so that they can have longevity.
Oh, yeah.
Let me share this? The Delaware Corporation, the state of Delaware, own all the railroad companies in America and all the oil well companies. And all of them big companies you're talking about, you've been talking about, they owned by the Delaware Corporation. Okay?
Delaware
Corporation. They own all the railroad companies and all the oil companies.
Lord have mercy.
Yes.
That just that because you know, Delaware is that unique, one of them unique provinces, 13, one of them colonies, you know, Delaware, Pennsylvania, where you know they really like planted their roots and started
that's
launching all
of
these.
The state of Delaware, the Ku Klux Klan main state in America. State of Delaware.
The state
and
of
all
Delaware.
All the politicians come from state of Delaware, slave master. Joe Biden is a slave master because he lived there, okay, in the state of Delaware. I sued the state of Delaware, the Delaware Corporation, in 1904. I sued all the railroad companies. When I went to court, y'all don't know what I was up against. There was 20 white lawyers from all different parts of America in the court when I walked in there.
I think you meant 2004. Didn't you mean
2004? 2004.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the case.
If they showed up, yeah. So with that letterhead that you have, and they showed up, we know they owe, because you're not showing up for nothing.
Right,
you're not
right.
Going to put a
new
lawyer.
Listen.
So
listen,
they owe.
Listen, I know that. I know they owe. Look, and the new reparation, that include all the land. In that case I filed is they stole 1,700 acres of land for the freeway went up here in Oakland. The 880 side of the freeway. The narrow creek hit. Okay? And half of that case, the city sold land to Caltrain to build the 880 side of the freeway on land that was owned by black people. From my case, $250 million lawsuit that I filed. And I have everything on what the railroad company, what the city and the railroad company did here in Oakland. I'll tell you something else. There's 2,800 miles of tracks in Oakland right now that the train don't use no more, but the tracks still there. Okay?
Yeah.
All that's in my case. So them tracks got to come up, and we get paid for them in this case, and we can use them tracks. That steel and all the railroad tracks to build other thing that we want to build out of it. Okay? 2,800 miles of tracks the railroad don't use. And that's in every city in America. They got train now. You watch a lot of these TV shows. You see the railroad tracks down right there in Mississippi where they had a movie. On the dock, the shows, big warehouse, everything, railroad tracks running right through there when you turn
right
the TV
up. Okay, so listen.
I've done my homework. And all of
yeah, we right on. Listen to this. Here's the question though: Who among us is going to attempt to get someone like Benjamin Crump to look at this information?
Well, I tapped in a few times, and so far nothing. But I ain't no harm and keep trying. So, and also Fannie Willis. And also from Gerald Griggs with the NAACP out of Atlanta, Georgia. So I've been tapping in on the East Coast. So I'm working on a few things out there.
Who is that, Ken?
Paul.
Okay, Paul. Yeah. So we'll look. You know, we'll keep on urging and encouraging you to. You know, keep that line open and see what you can get, and you can give us, you know, because see, if we need to file a petition, that might be necessary. You got 15,000 people with that concern about the longshoremen. That kind of ties in with with all the reparation because the railroad and the freighting company are in cahoots with each other. So anything that we do
correct.
With longshoremen is probably going to tie into the freighting company. I mean, the railroad company. So let's if we need to file a petition, get a petition going.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
All those people that are involved in that to get a petition going, and then petition the government, or have the petition so that you can attract somebody like a Crump or somebody like that to follow.
How many signatures do they need?
Hey, I couldn't tell you that offhand. But
last thing I want to say, I want y'all to know who I am. Because a lot of people don't know who I am. Some of my children don't even know who I am. I'm a power of attorney general for the state of California. Okay?
What does that mean?
I filed a $250 million lawsuit in 2004 in my name. That means I'm a lawyer.
Yeah.
Okay, well then we got one lawyer that can appeal to another lawyer. So Paul, when you contact him, you let him know that you're a son of an attorney with the power of attorney in the state of California. Juice it up as much as you can to attract the attention of somebody who's currently practicing.
Everybody that's powerful always informing Bishop Williams. And Troy is Al Sharpton's colleague, and he probably can help give us some more advice too. He wasn't able to get on the line today, but hopefully he can get on the line tomorrow.
Okay, look, I'm gonna have to intercede to let y'all know. I hate for people to get cut off in midstream. Our program is getting ready to end, and I don't want you to get cut off. But we're gonna resume. You know, we're gonna resume our conversations tomorrow as usual. And we're going to see if we can continue to whittle away at the barriers that's keeping us from having legitimate suits and these legitimate concerns heard. Yeah,
the last thing I want to say to you, I asked Paul to text you of 3 copies last night. And when you get them, I want you to read all 3 copies. And you will know what went on here, and you will know what I did. We can take over the whole Port Oakland right now, because I have the proof that don't nobody own it. Paul has been working on property. I have the proof that black people right now with me, we can take over the whole Port of Oakland. I have the proof because nobody own it. So we can take it over. Land, money, and everything, and running. People don't believe me when I say that.
Bill, I think we still got 30 minutes.
That 30 minutes? Oh, okay.
I think so. We're just going to go until it go off.
Yeah, I just don't want anybody to get cut off midstream. I don't like that idea.
If we get cut off midstream, we just pick it up tomorrow, that's all. But we just keep going until we can go no more.
I don't want to volunteer to it if it's gonna happen. I want to apprise everyone ahead of time.
The show will continue. I will not do a gospel. I'm doing paperwork for these probation people, so the show is open until 11:55. Y'all can continue the discussion because it is very deep.
Brother Paul, get Palms on the line, Paul.
So that's something we need to look into. You say that property is vacant.
King Bishop.
So we should try to obtain it.
King Bishop, you there?
Yes.
Hey, who got all your information? Where is it at?
I have it.
Okay. Hold on to it and don't lose not one. You hear me? And you need to start making copies of that.
Yeah, I just forward a double R information
you get to him.
No, you didn't. It didn't come. I just got your text. I didn't get the information.
Man, I have boxes. I have copies. I have boxes and boxes here.
Brother Paul.
Yes, Paul. Sir. I'm going to forward it again. I'll try it again.
Okay, yeah. I got the text, but not the information. Okay, I yield. I'm gone.
Okay, send me your email.
Yeah,
that'll be better.
Somebody close to him needs to get there and make some copies of that paperwork, put it on disk or however, but we need to get it all where it could be safe.
Preserved, correct. That's correct.
And we need to look into everything that he's talking about, because you never know. A lot of that information is viable and it's valuable.
Oh, yeah.
Right, this might be the start of something new for us.
Something else I want to tell y'all. I thought that I could get black people involved years ago, 20 years ago. And what I did, I mailed out my main stuff to all of the black caucus in Congress, even to the president and to Bill Clinton and Leon Panetta, all them people, Diane Feinstein, because I know her, my children, Paul and them, they used to play in the part for Diane Feinstein and Willie Brown in San Francisco. They used to come up there when they were supervisors and running for office in San Francisco and campaign on our stage, the William Seven Way stage. And the William Seven Way, my children have money coming from other countries, have big lawsuits, how people have robbed them and took their name and their music and wrote a book and using my name in other countries, making millions of dollars. And they have one of the biggest lawsuits. Paul hadn't talked to y'all about that. One day he will. Okay? But my children have a big case, a huge case. I've been robbed by their own peoples.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what happens when information gets into the wrong hands.
Yeah.
And I want to tell y'all about all the stuff out there.
We got a lot of Oreos out there.
Hey, someone needs to mute.
It's
getting real bad.
I thought I had something going with her. I met with her office people.
Someone got noise in the background.
Years.
Please
somebody
mute your phone.
Somebody needs to mute. Yeah, it's really bad.
Yeah.
Everybody mute your phone, please.
Somebody got a lot going on. They ain't even near their phone.
Yeah, that's pretty rough.
Man, what's wrong with our black people, man? What's wrong with our black people? Mute your phone. Touch the mic.
Yeah. It might be that Oreo on the line.
Oh.
Yeah, we have them. We have our share of them too, causing disruption. But we just gonna keep on having to work. Keep working on this housekeeping.
That's how we gonna talk through it.
Yeah.
But all that information that you got, brother Paul, or somebody close to him, see, try and get copies of that and store it away where it'll be safe.
Yeah.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
remember.
That's, that's important. Yeah, we need to cover that and protect it.
Give me a dollar.
Hey,
well, so
gentlemen.
So I got no change.
They're coming, man. Hey, we do a
change. Dollar man, mute your mic. Dollar
Harold?
Man, mute your mic.
Paul, is that Harold?
Yeah, what's going on, man?
Oh, no.
Mute
hey, what's going on?
You
might have to hit the mute button on your phone. Is that you?
No, that ain't me.
Oh, ooh.
Wow, that's pretty rough.
Paul just hooked me up onto the line.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
how you
somebody,
doing?
Somebody, hey, Harold. Hey, yeah, so we got back okay. We got 2 miles away from my house before the caliper jammed up into the wheel well, and we thought the whole front of the car was going to fall off.
I
had to tow it to my mechanic and put it in front of his garage door, so he had to deal with it first, and he took care of it. And I'm rolling now. He took care of it called me about 9:30 and told me he's going to take care of it. About 12 o'clock, he called me and said, he's a Hispanic dude. He called me and said, my car, your car, you ready? Your car ready?
You're very thankful.
So we were back rolling again. So, okay. So, hey, gentlemen, before we go, y'all guys continue, and I hope you can weather through all the distortions. But I have another commitment that I'm gonna have to beg off to and meet.
Hey, you got 7 Up, man? Where?
All right. Dad gummit. So whoever that is, they just got the floor, right? We ain't nothing we can do about it.
Oh, it could be. Harold could be on.
Good morning, man. On the ground with the dog.
Wow. Yeah, that's good. We're kind of in the catch 22 right now. I got to get ready for another commitment, so I'm going to beg off right now. And I look forward to continuing our conversation tomorrow. If there's anything that comes up that I need to know, I'd like for someone to give me a call.
Okay.
All right, guys, have a good day.
Okay, all righty. All right, Paul, JP, Marvell, everybody.
Yeah,
we thank you.
Well, that's but anyway, make sure that somebody gets to Bishop and take care of that information.
Just like a bit. Wearing them new shoes, all right, your shoes, right?
No. Paul.
And Bishop, it was some nice shoes you had on.
Yeah, Paul, I'm thinking that might be Harold.
Yeah.
You might have to put your phone on mute. I mean, you'll still be able to hear us.
I will. Okay. I'm walking across the street with a tenant in the car. I'll put it on mute.
Yeah.
Hey, Harold Green. How you doing, Harold Green?
Hey, Vince, how you doing, my brother?
Blessed to be trying to make it, man. Blessed to be breathing.
Every day you wake up, you make it.
That's right.
Let me sit in the car where he can put my phone on mute. Across the car from the street.
All right. I mean, that way you could still hear us.
Is Brother Marvell and them gone?
I think they are.
I'm here. Brother Jim here. Double R here. Brother Mark here. We all here.
Okay.
Brother Sherman.
Earl the Day.
Can I get you brothers to listen to one valid thing I'm finna say? This is Big V.
Yes, sir.
The reason why they continue to do this to us is because nobody has ever challenged them. But I'm going to say this. They must be the wrong ones this time, though.
Hey,
you gotta, I got too many on my line, so you got to call Brother Palm.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I love my line.
Hey.
It's like I said before. See, every other nation, people, race, they're false.
All right, you got to get out and come get it.
Where you at, Harold? You over here by me?
No, I'm actually at the filling station. I'm trying to put the phone on mute.
Okay.
Yeah, then
I just left dialysis.
You're tuned in to the Wise Words of One Gone Show. We are readjusting right now. We'll put on a commercial, and we'll be right back with our special guests and contributors in just a minute.
Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. What's up with it? Attention sack artists. You trying to get your music played? R&B, jazz, hip-hop, and comedy. Spoken word as well. Send your MP3 tracks to DJ1Gone@yahoo.com. That's DJ1Gone@yahoo.com. Make sure you give a call to 347-205-9722 or log on to blogtalkradio.com.
We back. It looked like all the brothers done hung up. I see Sherman on here. I see Double R in the car. I see Mark the Disciple. I see Bishop. That's all that's left. And they hung up. They can't call back in. And so because they can't call back in, I'm going to play a couple of these songs, and we're going to keep moving along.
Sometimes I feel like giving up. It seems like my best just ain't good enough. Lord, if you hear me, I'm calling you. Do you see, do you care all about what I'm going through? And then he said, one more day, one more step. See, I'm preparing you for myself. And when you can't hear my voice, please trust my plan. I'm the Lord, I see, and yes, I understand. But sometimes I feel like I'm all alone. I'm just like a stranger so far from home. I feel like I've done all that I can do. Please, Lord, give me strength. I'm just trying to make it through. That's when he told I won't forget, nor have I forgot. You see, everything works according to my plan. I am God, trust me, I got the whole world in my hands. Oh,
let them fall by the side of the road. And teach them to love one another, that heaven might find a place in their heart. 'Cause Jesus is love. He won't let you down. And I know got to walk on, walk on through temptation, 'cause His love and His wisdom will be our helping hand. I know the truth, and His word will be our salvation. Lift up our hearts to be thankful and glad that Jesus.